Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you've joined us for this Eve of Christmas Eve edition of Basic Gospel. It's a festive time of the year, Bob, and I know all of our listeners are very, very excited about getting ready for Christmas and everything, and I know you're excited about sharing some special things on this occasion here at Basic Gospel.
Well, Bob, I really am, and, you know, oftentimes as we approach the Christmas season, we always are looking at the Christmas story. We're looking at Bethlehem. We're looking at the manger scene, the nativity, and, you know, telling the story of the little baby Jesus born in a manger and all of those things that the angels pronounced about him, you know, that he is going to save us from our sins. He is God with us. Today, I thought I would take us heaven side and to look at the story from God's perspective.
Yeah.
And John actually records it that way. He gives us God's perspective on Jesus becoming one of us. And so I just want to spend some time in John chapter 1, the first 18 verses. And you're going to see the heart of God for mankind. You're going to see the love of God demonstrated in the sending of Jesus, I think, in a new and fresh way. So let's just dive in. John chapter 1. And like I said, we're going to just move through the first 18 verses and see some things about Jesus Christ. So it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this echoes the very first sentence of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. Well, in the beginning God, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So who is John referencing? Who is John talking about in using this word, the Word? Well, he's talking about Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was in the beginning with God, and he indeed was and is God. And says he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So we see some things about Jesus Christ here. He was in the beginning, so he's pre-existed. He was before time and creation and all of those things. He's always been. That's Jesus. He's known as the Word. He indeed is God. So he was from the beginning, and all things have been made through him. So we see him as creator. So that's who this Jesus is. And other places in the New Testament talk about him in these terms. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18 talks about Christ being the visible God and the exact image, the firstborn, the preeminent one, that all things in this world he holds together. So we see some beautiful words about Jesus in Colossians 1. We also see them in Hebrews chapter 1. He is the radiance of God the Father. That's who Jesus is. He's the exact representation. So he was in the beginning with God. He indeed is God. He is Creator God. And here's the good news. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So if we're going to have light in this world, there has to be a source, and that source is Jesus Christ himself. If we're going to experience true life, if we're going to experience genuine life, then there has to be a source, and Jesus Christ is that source. Now he says in verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The forces of darkness are strong and powerful. They are manipulative and deceitful and all of these sort of things, and they can blind our eyes to the goodness of God. But when light comes into that dark arena, then the darkness has no defense against the light. Yeah. It has absolutely no defense against the light of Jesus Christ. And we need to recognize that. We need to understand it. A lot of times we spend energy and effort and time trying to push light or push darkness away. Well, we don't need to worry about that. Let's just shine light.
Yeah.
And when the light enters that arena of darkness, it's going to push the darkness away. That's just the power of the light of Jesus Christ. So the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he came as a witness to bear witness about that light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So John is talking about John the Baptist. So John the Baptist was the forerunner. He was the kind of the final voice from the old covenant, so to speak, pointing a finger, pointing away toward Jesus. So can you imagine being John the Baptist? He was given the role of introducing Jesus, the Messiah, to the people of Israel. Mm-hmm. So it was an amazing task that God had given him to do. And so every day when he went out to the Jordan River and people came to be baptized, he knew he was going to baptize Jesus, and that one day this Jesus would show up and he would know exactly who he was. Of course, Jesus was John the Baptist's cousin.
Sure.
We know that from Scripture. And so he had grown up probably knowing who Jesus was, but always wondering, is he truly the Messiah? Well, there came a day when Jesus came to him and said, it's time for you to baptize me. And John the Baptist was a little bit reluctant and said, you need to be the one baptizing me. And he said, no, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. So as John the Baptist laid Jesus down in those waters of the Jordan River, as soon as he brought him up, a dove descended upon Jesus, and then a voice from heaven was heard saying, this is my son, in whom I am well pleased.
Yeah.
So we see this endorsement, this voice saying, this is the one. And John the Baptist was there to introduce the Messiah to the people of Israel. So John was a witness. He came to bear witness about the light. He knew he was not the light, but he simply came to bear witness to that light so that all might believe through him. So John's hope, John's desire was that in pointing to Jesus and saying, he's the one, I've baptized him, I've seen the dove descend upon him, I heard the voice from above saying, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. I've heard all that. I've gotten confirmation that indeed Jesus is the guy. So believe in him. You've been steeped in the Judaism, that way of life. It's time to let go of that and to look to the one Judaism has been talking about for these thousands and thousands of years.
Yeah.
He's here. He's on the scene. He's right in front of you. So John was bearing witness about Jesus. He was saying, I'm not the light, but this is the guy, and I want you to believe on him because of what I have said.
Yeah, absolutely. Great thoughts, Bob, and it is, as I said, a very festive time of year as we consider the human birth of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you for those thoughts. And, you know, Bob, a lot of ministry can take place with our $90,000 matching gift grant, especially if our listeners step up to actually double it to $180,000, an almost unimaginable sum to me, but there's still a way to go. But how would you encourage our listeners to help make that happen?
Well, you know, now is kind of the giving season.
Yeah.
You know, the month of December, there are folks out there trying to declare that, make that a declaration as the giving month. Mm-hmm. And here's why. Because for many ministries, for many churches, over 30% of their annual revenues come in the month of December. And then the last 3 days of the year, those are the biggest 3 days of giving. And what comes in those 3 days is pretty much more than the rest of the year for many ministries. So this is a very, very important time. And we understand how important it is to be generous and to support ministries like Basic Gospel. And with this matching gift opportunity, this is just an opportunity you don't want to miss. You can be generous, knowing that whatever you give, that gift is going to be multiplied times two. So you're going to double your impact. You're going to reach more people with the gift that you give. So don't let this opportunity pass you by. Stand with Basic Gospel. Give today. And be sure to designate this as a matching gift, that you want it to be matched by our, like never before, matching gift challenge.
Yeah. You can do that, of course, at basicgospel.net, and we hope that you'll do that, and we would sure like to see that $180,000 come into play, and we can, you're just no telling how far this ministry and this message can go with that amount of money.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, Bob, as I was saying at the top of the hour, we're looking at the Christmas story from a heavenly perspective. Yeah. So we're seeing Jesus before he became one of us. We're seeing him in the beginning, before anything else existed. We are seeing him right beside God the Father, and that's just how we're going to visualize the Godhead from our human perspective. But there is Jesus with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit, and we see that he indeed was and is God, and that he was the creator of all things. So this is Jesus before he became one of us. And then God so loved that he sent Jesus into this world, and he sent someone as a forerunner, someone to be a witness that Jesus indeed was the anointed one, that Jesus indeed was the Messiah, that Jesus indeed was the one that had been promised from the very beginning of time, yeah, that there would come a time where God would send Jesus into this world to take care of the sin issue and to offer us life. And that's really the note that John plays in this original opening, in this opening of his gospel account, that Jesus is the one that has life, and this life is the light of the world. So the very life of Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and that's what John was bearing witness to. Now, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. So there was this plan that there was going to be a point in time when Jesus would come into this world. He was with God in the beginning. He was in the heavenlies. And there was going to come a time where he would come into this world. He would enter into our human experience. It says he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Isn't that a sad statement?
Indeed,
it is one of the saddest statements, I think, in the Word of God. Creator God, Creator Jesus, comes into the world. He has made everything. He is why we exist. He's why we have breath. He's why we have human life. And yet when he came into this world, people didn't know him. They didn't recognize him for who he was and is. And then he says this, he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. So he's talking about the nation of Israel. He's talking about the Jewish people, that Jesus came to his own. He was there in Israel. He was there in Jerusalem. He was telling his story to that group of people, and yet they did not receive him. And then he says this, one of the greatest verses in the Bible, but all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God.
Yeah.
That's the good news. Why did Jesus come into this world? So that we could be made children of God, so that we could change our identity. That's not something that we could do. Christ had to do that for us. But we came into this world as sinners, and now through faith in Jesus Christ, we are made children of God. That's what we have become. And he says, this is how it happened, because we were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So how do we become children of God? We are born of God. So God sent Jesus into this world so that we could experience new birth. And then in verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Here's Christmas from a heavenly perspective. So He was in the beginning with God. He was before things ever came into being. He was heaven-side with God the Father and God the Spirit. Then there came this point in time in human history some 2,000 years ago when this Word, Jesus Christ himself, became flesh and blood. Yeah. So God the Father had prepared a body for him. And through that Christmas, on that Christmas born, that body was given to this world. And Jesus had inhabited that body. And that body would be shared with you and me, and we would become a part of the body of Christ. That's what we celebrate through the Lord's Supper. The fact that Jesus Christ offered his body as the once-for-all sacrifice, that his body was broken so that we could be added to his body and made members of the body of Christ. So God had prepared this body for him. At this point in time, he inhabited that body, became one of us, became flesh, and dwelt among us. And here's what he says. Here's what John says. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. So Jesus is one of a kind, the unique one. He is the only one of a class or a kind. There's no one that can compare to Jesus Christ. We just can't find anybody out there that can compare to Jesus Christ. So we've seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father. So where did Jesus come from? He came from the Father, from above. So there was heaven. That's where the Father resided. God sent Jesus. So Jesus came from above. He came from the Father. And when he came, he became flesh. He dwelt among us, and he was full of grace and truth. So what was Jesus full of? Grace and truth. If we're going to understand what grace is all about, guess who we're going to have to look at? We're going to have to look at Jesus Christ. If we want to know the truth, guess who we're going to have to look to? Jesus Christ. He is the truth. So he was full of grace and truth. And it says, John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me." So in the human birth, John the Baptist was first, Jesus was second. But in reality, Jesus was before John the Baptist. Yeah. Just as he said later on in his earthly ministry, before Abraham was, I am. So Jesus pre-existed or was before Abraham. So Jesus was before John the Baptist, and John is just pointing that out. And he says this, "And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace." So what have we received from Jesus Christ? Grace upon grace. Why have we received grace upon grace? Because that's what we need. We need grace. We humans can't exist. We can't have eternal life. We can't have spiritual life. We cannot have a connection to Jesus apart from him showing us favor, apart from him giving us grace upon grace. Jesus came into this world to give us what we needed. That is the grace of God. So he was from the fullness, or from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus. So John is making a point here, isn't he?
Absolutely, yes.
Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. The law came through Moses. So if you want to know what the law is, you go back to the Old Testament, you go back to the book of Exodus, you go to Exodus chapter 20, you see what the law is. You see that covenant of law that God established with the people of Israel, and Moses was that mediator that brought that about. So he went up on the mountain, and God gave him the law. He brought that down to the people and said, if you will obey all of these statutes and all of these commands, then you will be God's people and he will be your God. And they said in one accord, in unison, all that the Lord has commanded, we will do.
Good luck.
Well, they didn't. They didn't succeed very well. No. As a matter of fact, 3 weeks later, they're making a golden calf and bowing down to it and saying, "You are God. You are the one who brought us out of Egypt. You are the one who set us free." So they have violated the first commandment right out of the chute, and that's the one that always caught them.
Yeah.
That's the one that they always were hung up on. They constantly bowed the knee to foreign gods. So that law condemned the people. That law condemns you and me. We stand condemned under the righteousness of that law. Why? Because we don't measure up. We are far away from that righteous standard. So again, that's why we needed grace. We needed the one who was full of grace and truth to come and advocate for us, come and do something on our behalf, come and do something that we could not do for ourselves. So John is really hammering this point home to draw the contrast between the law of Moses and the grace and truth that Jesus Christ brings to each and every one of us. So grace and truth came through Jesus. Now, no one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. So why did Jesus come into this world? Well, we've already addressed several reasons, but here at the end, this is one of my favorites. This passage, or this particular verse, does something to this heart of mine every time I read it. That Jesus Christ came into this world to make the Father known to you and to I. You know, we've heard the phrase fake news for the last number of years. We've heard this this word misinformation, disinformation that's being spread far and wide. Well, folks, this isn't new. This isn't just a current phenomena. Fake news has been the way of the world since sin entered into the world. Satan has been doing a masterful job delivering misinformation, deceiving us, trying to paint a picture about God that isn't true. And we're buying into it. Most of us bought into it at one time or another. And we looked at God through the lens of the law. We looked at God through the lens of sin and death. We looked at God through the lens of the lies and deceptions that are in this world. And when we did, we saw a distorted view of God. We didn't see the truth.
Yeah.
We saw all the misinformation. And we got trapped by that. We got moved along by that. We got controlled by that. Well, God said, enough is enough. I'm going to send Jesus into the world, the exact representation of who I am, so that they can know the truth about me, that I truly am a God of grace, of love, of mercy, and forgiveness, and that all will come to me through Jesus, through my Son, might have everlasting life. That's the story of Christmas, Heavenside. God wanting to send the truth out into the world about himself through the greatest representative he could have ever come up with, his one and only Son, the Son of God, who is full of grace and truth. And good news, if you are a believer in Christ, you have experienced the very life of grace and truth that he came to bring you in a wonderful, powerful way.
In a wonderful, powerful way. And thank you for that, those thoughts, Bob. Wonderful time of year, and we always love hearing the Christmas story and looking forward to the celebration of the human birth of Jesus Christ. So thank you again for those thoughts. And friends, as we've noted, Christmas time, of course, is a time of giving, and the testimonies of our listeners that we've heard, they just underscore the reason that we share God's love and grace in Jesus Christ every day and why your support continues to be vital. Hearing someone's life has been changed in an eternal way is one of the great joys of giving, of course. So in this Christmas season, we hope you'll share in the grace of giving so that others might hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ, the truth of the gospel. And right now, because of our matching gift grant, you can make your gift count double, twice the impact, friends, when you donate at BaseGospel.net. Well, we'll be back tomorrow for the Christmas Eve edition, and I hope you'll join us. So for Bob and the staff, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us then for another edition of Basic Gospel. See you then. Bye-bye.